Just to put this whole project into context, we started working on looking at the Postal Service in the digital world about a year ago, and we, basically this project came out of a need for such a thing from a federal agency. So if you look at the shortcomings of the digital world today, a lot of consumers, a lot of customers of the Postal Service have concerns about privacy, about security, and in particular about identity verification, so that if you're doing business in the digital world, you're buying something from eBay or, you know, you want to sell tickets, you don't know who you're communicating with on the other side. And that's one of the big problems that we had, that we continue to have, regardless of even though everyone uses email, everyone uses smartphones in today's digital world. And so we looked at what the Postal Service strengths are. It's been a trusted intermediary for over 200 years. We have a position of legal standing. The Postal Service is recognized in government and by the courts. That postmark is very valuable. And there's no other agency that really has the kind of organization that has the critical mass that the Postal Service has. We reach 150 million residents and businesses every 6 days a week. And so we looked at this and we thought, there really is a role for the Postal Service to play. And this email box would work like an email service. And mm-hmm. just as you have a physical mailbox in the physical world where you pick up your mail every day, or a lot of people now maybe pick it up every other day, you would have that same kind of a mailbox in the digital world. So you would be assigned, basically, you would sign up for this kind of a service online, and you would receive a confirmation number, go to your post office, and you'd be, your identity would be verified by a postal clerk the same way that they do that now for passport applications. And you would then you would have an email account, and you would be able to use it. You'd sign up. It'd be consumer-centric, so you decide how you want to receive your bills. And your mail. You may want to get your coupons from Joe's Pizza Shop. You may mm-hmm. want to continue to get those physically in your mailbox, while you want to receive all of your statements from your cable company, from your phone company. You would get those then online in your email box.
Okay, let me ask you this, because you compared it to how we get our regular mail with our mailbox. That's attached to an address, say my home, that is attached to my home address. The email box or the lock box would be attached to me. It would be mobile with me.
It would be mobile with you, but you would have a email address assigned to you. So it'd be amy.morris@usps.gov.
Mm-hmm.
But then you would also, that would also be linked to your physical address, to your mailing address. And the nice thing about this, Amy, is that you could then choose on a form, you may not be comfortable providing your physical address to someone, but you could provide your postal email box address, which would serve the same purpose, and the Postal Service or a government agency could find you using that address.
Oh, it's not instead of, it is an expansion of the regular mailbox.
Exactly.
Why not do this before?
Funny enough, there are two pieces of irony in this whole project. One is that the Postal Service actually was way ahead of the game. They had developed a suite of services back in the late 90s, and including an email box type service.
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, it was a little premature for the time. They invested heavily in the project, and they actually had some big, big partners. I won't name the names, but a large telecommunications company and one of the largest IT companies in the country. And they had lined this up. And unfortunately, there was a lot of pressure. The postal executives at the time didn't think that the market was mature enough for such a product. And they decided to pull the plug on it. And that's the first thing. So they had experience, initially in it, and they partnered with the companies that really have the experience and the expertise. The second thing is, if you fast forward to today, you're seeing the United States is actually a leader in this kind of development of these kinds of services. There are a number of companies. You may have heard of Zoombox or Earth Class Mail. There are a number of very innovative American companies that are creating these products. And so, given the Postal Service's financial situation right now, we've actually encouraged in our past work that maybe a partnership is the way to go. They have a lot of financial priorities right now and not a lot of resources. And so maybe partnering with an innovative company is a possible option given the atmosphere they're operating in.
So have other countries done this too, and has there been any measure of success that you can pull from?
Yes. You know, actually, there are two countries that in particular, and one of them we highlight in the paper, and that's the Danish Post in Denmark. They have a service called eBox, and it offers a lot of the same functions that we highlight in our paper. And they actually have, because they've had the full support of the government, and they've also worked very closely with their banking industry, they now have over 54% of the population is signed up with the service. And they're a small operation. They partnered, the Post Denmark partnered with an IT company, and with less than 20 people, they did something like $70 million in revenue last year, which is not a small number. So they've been very successful, and I think our neighbors to the north are another example. Canada Post has rolled out, and they've actually had the service, I think, some 10 years. And they've, because of some recent labor disputes that they've had in Canada, they were actually able to increase their subscribership because of some problems with labor and get people into an alternative access channel, which is using this ePost service that Canada Post provides.
We are talking with Bruce Marsh, the manager of Risk Analysis Center in the Office of the Inspector General at the Postal Service. And we're talking about this white paper that your office was able to put together. How has that paper been received so far, or is it too early?
It is early. It's been, as a white paper, this is not an audit, so it's not a prescription. It's the recommendations, and we've provided them to the Postal Service management and to the Board of Governors as information. And, I know that they're studying right now. They're studying various digital services and options. And, we're pretty confident that this will help complement the work that they're doing right now. It's a tough time for them. So we feel like this is a good idea and something that's badly needed, particularly as we get younger generations, those millennials and the Generation Y that you hear about. Those younger generations don't know anything about the Postal Service, and this is a way to get them into the network and using these alternative access channels.
Would the Postal Service have to compete with other mailbox service providers like Google or Yahoo? Because I have a work address, federalnewsradio.com. I have a Yahoo address. Would the Postal Service have to compete with them for my attention?
Well, that's a good question. You can look at it in several different ways. I think we see this service, Google, their models, lots and lots of Americans use their email services, whether it's Yahoo or Google. But their interest is they're a for-profit company. They are interested in their revenue ad generation. They actually use your emails and your content of your emails to generate those ads. And our system, we're different in that our goal is, of course, we want to be at least break even in this kind of a service and generate revenue. But our goal is to serve the American people as part of the national infrastructure. And we see that as our number one priority. And, of course, this kind of service, we want it to make money for the Postal Service. But it's not going to be a financial panacea. There are lots of other issues. They have they're working on their own strategy to deal with their, issues in the physical world. So, we see there may be some competition, but this is for your important official correspondence. If a government agency wants to correspond with you, they could use this email box to do it with official correspondence or legal correspondence. And that's where the value is, and that's where the value of the Postal Service, in that it's a trusted intermediary and has been for several hundred years.
And I understand this is a white paper and you're sort of just exploring things and sticking your toe in the water to see how it feels. But if this were to happen, how long would it take? When would it happen? Or is there any way to even know that?
Well, there's, that's a good question that unfortunately we can't answer as, in our capacity. That's something that postal executives and the Board of Governors will have to decide, and they'll have to work with the Postal Regulatory Commission and trying to get this kind of a product through. But we feel pretty confident that we've done the research in terms of the policy and the law, and we think that this is something that is doable. Time is, you know, that's something that the Postal Service would have to determine with whoever they, if they end up partnering with a company, with an IT company, they would have to work that out.